Hey friends, welcome to the Victor Marks Podcast with Victor Marks, founder of All Things Possible Ministries. Welcome to the show where we bring you real conversations faced with life's hard truths, stories of redemption, and the latest from the front lines. Whether you're on the road, getting your day started, or finally settling in, we've got an exciting new episode planned for you. So let's dive in to today's show.
Hey, welcome to another edition of the Victor Marks Show. I am your host by the same name, Victor Marks. So, you guys, today, hey, this is really cool. You know, we get a variety of people we interview, but today's a pretty cool guest. We're talking about Mr. Aaron Teagues. He is a jiu-jitsu dude, an instructor, a competitor. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner. He's been training since he was like 8 years old. That was back in 2006. He got promoted to yellow belt by UFC Hall of Famer Royce Gracie, which dates me. Royce and I used to roll around in his garage back when he was first in the U.S. in the 80s. Aaron is currently a brown belt under Ryan Clark at Clark's University of Martial Arts up in Bend, Oregon. And over the years, Aaron has really experienced a multitude of different styles of jiu-jitsu, as the Brazilians say. He's competed and medaled in countless tournaments around the U.S. and abroad. Notable accomplishments, I mean, everything from recent 2021 IBJJF, the American National Championship gold medalist, medium heavyweight, brown belt. He's currently on a five-match winning streak and will compete there soon again. And actually, he's going to be competing at the Colorado Open. Depending on when you're listening to this, he's going to be competing at the Pan American Jiu-Jitsu Nationals and the Khan International. So this is pretty exciting to introduce my guest and All Things Possible's sponsored fighter, athlete, competitor, Mr. Aaron Teagues.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. You are special to us, not only as a person and competitor, but you are a team member of All Things Possible in the realm of a sponsored competitor. Your dad is our chief operations officer, my colleague, who we just got back from Iraq with, and we're talking about retired Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Teagues. So if that sounds familiar, it's because they are related. You're his eldest, and man, talk to us about, why was it important, and did it really help your dad putting you in a jiu-jitsu class as a youngster?
Well, my dad always wanted us, my brother and I, to do some kind of martial art and some kind of self-defense type thing. And in his unit, jiu-jitsu was a big part of it, and the Gracie combatives, and they'd always train, and they had a kid's class at the Army base that he used to go to. So I started out there, and Royce Gracie would come by every year. And about a year or a year and a half in, Royce Gracie came by and checked in on the kids' class and checked out the students and rolled with a bunch of us. And it was super cool being able to see him. And then he decided to promote my brother and I to the next belt level. After that, you know, being able to see a legend of one of the pioneers, especially for bringing jiu-jitsu to the United States, I mean, that kind of gets you hooked a little bit.
That's so great. And really, what a cool thing to happen for a kid to be promoted by Royce Gracie.
Yeah.
And that kind of launched you with a bunch of, you know, I would say confidence. And so what was the hardest part about starting out as a kid?
Being a homeschooler, there was, you know, the stigma of homeschoolers being socially awkward is a little bit, it's kind of true. So there is that learning curve, of course, of now you're in a group with a bunch of other kids. When usually it's just my brother and I beating each other up. Now there's a bunch of other kids that we have to deal with. So I guess there was that. But I had great coaches, and my dad was, and my mom were always super encouraging. So it never really felt too hard to start and stay with it. There were a couple of times where I took a little break to focus on other things like soccer, but jiu-jitsu always kind of called me back, and it kind of came naturally to me.
Right. Well, you started when you were 8. How old are you now?
I am 23.
Has jiu-jitsu given you a level of confidence just as a man?
At this point, I've been doing jiu-jitsu longer than I have not, as far as, you know,
wow,
as long as I've been alive.
Wow.
I mean, 15 years of jiu-jitsu so far, and just the simple math of that, I've been doing it
wow
longer than I haven't. So I don't really know who the person I would be if I didn't have jiu-jitsu.
Mm.
I'd like to say that I'd be similar to who I am, but I think there, in a lot of ways, I wouldn't be. You know, I think my self-confidence has really grown because of jiu-jitsu. My ability to, you know, I think there's a specialty to being able to stick with something for a long time. You know, lots of people theorize on this, like Malcolm Gladwell will tell you, you have to do something for 10,000 hours to master it. And I think there's a truth to that. And being able to have stuck with this for over 15 years at this point already, it brings with it, I wouldn't say a master yet, because I still have this beginner's mindset of, there's still so much to learn, so many different things to adjust and change as far as knowing my jiu-jitsu. But there's just a confidence that comes with that much time.
Yeah.
And I think that just bleeds into my everyday life as well.
You know, I love hearing that. And again, if you're a parent listening to this, thinking about putting your kid in a martial arts or some sport, don't give them an out. Don't let them quit. When we train kids over the years of martial arts, karate and jiu-jitsu are in our system, we would tell parents and we'd tell the students, you can stop anytime you want after you earn a belt. Earn that next rank, then stop. But don't quit. Don't quit in the middle of it all, because you're really reinforcing insecurity in a kid and really a mindset of not being resilient when things get tough. Have things got tough for you over the years? Can you remember anything that was like truly just a wall you hit in jiu-jitsu?
In jiu-jitsu specifically, you know, you can look at, and the thing that I think is important with any martial art is, yes, there are the wins, but there are so many more losses, you know, like in the training room, in competition, like I have lost way more times than I have won.
Yes.
And I've had to tap out way more times than I've tapped people, you know?
Yep.
And I think that in and of itself really breeds a resilience and a competitive drive, not necessarily to compete, but just to get better and to learn. So that's something that I've certainly noticed. And then in competition and stuff, if I have a bad loss, usually, you know, there's a little phase of, you know, beating yourself up and really not being happy with the result. But then I think it's really important to find yourself and try and be in the moment. And if you have to meditate, if you have to pray or whatever to get back into that space and like remember, okay, how gifted and how blessed you are to be doing this thing that you love, even if you lost. And then when you're able to create that mindset again, it just creates get better and learn from your losses and stuff as well.
We're talking to Aaron Teagues, the mindset of a champion. You're learning and getting some fresh gold nuggets of wisdom that you yourself, with your mom, a dad, pastor, we're talking to a competitor at really the highest level now, where he's appearing on television, and he's making a splash, that's for sure. But he's talking about resiliency, talking about overcoming losses that, I mean, failure is not final unless you make it be in your head. A lot of times it's a great opportunity to learn, readjust, and gain a different type of motivation. Have you been more motivated by wins or losses?
It's certainly been the losses.
Bingo.
And I think it's important to, you know, when you win, because I think it's because of that, the motivation comes with the losses. I think it's important that if you're on a winning streak or you are winning everything, not to, you know, get too complacent and not to feel like, okay, I'm at the top and be satisfied if you're winning. I think that's a really difficult thing to do, where it's when you lose, it's a little bit easier to go, okay, I got to try again. And I got to, for me anyway.
Right. Well, and then you're competing. I've seen you on television. You're competing oftentimes against a black belt. Or, you
That's
know,
correct, yeah.
And as a brown belt, there's there's only positive pressure to go, well, this guy's a black belt, so if I lose, you know, oftentimes it's you beating yourself, not him beating you. That's how I view it. And you are a sneaky dude on that mat. It's a joy to watch, because those of us who've been around a while, I mean, my last rank in karate and jiu-jitsu and all that was a 7th degree. That'd be my last rank I'll ever get, because my instructor passed. And I tell people this, the science and the art of jiu-jitsu, the way it is excelled on the ground, is phenomenal. As you know, me and your dad roll around, and it's just stunning. And you're coming out here and to both do a training seminar for us at the Leadership Training Center here in Colorado Springs, which if people follow us on social media or go to our website, you'll be able to get the date for that to sign up and learn, get to train with the great up-and-coming Aaron Teagues. And then also you're going to compete, I think, up in Denver. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. There's a fight to win little competition. It's not their usual show. It's more of like a tournament style competition. It's interesting. I haven't seen one before, so I was, that's in Denver. But I think audiences are welcome for that too.
Yeah, and I think that's August 28th in Denver. Correct. Fight to win. You can look up Aaron Teagues, T-I-E-G-S. Just Google him. There's some fun stuff, some great videos out there. Now, I brought your dad into this, but let me ask you, your dad retired from the special operations community. And now I'm going to talk on behalf of military kids or police officers' kids or whatnot. Your dad was a human hunter. He made it to the highest level, many consider in the world, with the Special Missions Unit, or many know it as Delta, as a commander. And I know for a fact he has probably over 1,000 missions. He's a 5-time Bronze Star recipient and a Silver Star with the V for Valor. And I don't know if you actually grasp the depth of that, but who your dad is and what he's done, how did that affect you as a kid? I mean, because, you know, our kids look at us as dads, that's just my dad. What was it like for you? You know, I know it had to be tough because he's always deploying out, but did you ever see your dad as a superhero?
I mean, I think a lot of kids do see their dads and their parents in that way. And it's something I didn't know any better growing up. I mean, he'd go and fight and be gone a couple months and then he'd be back, and it'd be awesome to have him back. And, it didn't really dawn on me all that much until really when I started getting older and, when he actually retired and getting to go to the ceremonies and seeing all the people, talk about, you know, the things that he's done and the heroic things that he's done and his ability and his expertise, I guess, really kind of started to come to light, like during his retirement ceremonies and that sort of thing. And that's when I was really able to kind of grasp, okay, this is the things that he's done. This is pretty amazing. And like, it's still kind of hard. Like some days you see him as just your dad, and right, he's just some guy. And then some days you kind of see him as this superhero, you know?
Because he's both, right? Yeah. I mean, he really is. For those of you who don't know, I mean, you can hear Jeff on our podcast at times. He's a guest host. But he's also really oversees the DIB, our Daily Intelligence Brief. And to be able to hear him through his writings, you can actually subscribe to that. Go to victormarks.com/brief. And it is pretty amazing, but he's both just normal guy. You know, it's fun and we get to do some fun stuff. I thank the special operations community for investing millions into people like your dad so that we can hunt pedophiles, which you know something about, and understand the reality of helping women and children who are trafficked, and as just one of the couple of the lanes that we work in. But I'll tell you something, that it's always good to hear things about your dad from other people, just like you were saying, Aaron. And I'll tell you this, your dad told me the other day He said he remembers praying so many times while on target or being deployed, because, you know, they were doing direct action. He would go, God, just please keep me alive so that I can spend time with my sons as young men and fathers. That was his prayer. Lord, keep me alive so that I can, because he missed a lot of your childhood coming in and out. But like you said, it was normal. We're talking about development of character, folks. And we've been talking about Aaron Teagues. We've been talking about his father, Jeff Teagues, retired lieutenant colonel from Delta. But now I want to talk about your mom. Of course, our families are friends. We actually spent vacation in Israel together. Tell me what's unique about your mom, because she did a lot of the parenting and raising. What's something that kind of stands out about her that made a difference in your life?
So my dad always likes to give a lot of credit to my mom.
Yeah.
Whenever people bring up parenting, and I think he has done a lot, and he's been a great father to me, but my mom is really quite incredible.
Mm.
She's one of the most loving people I've ever known. And it has, just her being able to be who she is has helped my brother and I become people who can love in, you know, a way that is, I think, you know, elevated in a way like this. And it's hard to put into words, and it's hard to describe, but she just has this, all she cares about is creating love, if that makes sense. Like, she's an amazing cook, and she'll grow plants, and she just cares for everything. You know, if you want to look at someone that, you know, is a really good embodiment of, you know, what God or Jesus is taught about trying to love the world and love people and love just creation itself, I think my mom really embodies that in a lot of ways. Like, she has animals just so that she can love and care for them. She, you know, will feed the wild animals in the backyard. She'll have bird feeders and have feeders specifically for the squirrels and all these different things, because she's just able to, she just has this gift to just send love to everything.
It's true. I'm sitting here with a smile in the studio. I'm smiling ear to ear because I know your mom, and she's actually one of our secret weapons on ATP's team for some work that she does. Where she is, here's the term I use to address your mom. She is a life giver. Just a loving life giver.
Good term.
And yeah. I, you know, what a balance to your father, who as a professional was a life taker. He saved lives by taking lives, right? He hunted monsters that would kill and torture and kidnap. And he's like, nope, you need to go away. So capture killing in order to save lives. And here's your mom at home, you know, feeding birds and squirrels and loving her sons. She is definitely a life giver. And it's such a great example for you moms listening, that what a great balance of teaching, raising sons to be masculine and manly, and yet that tender side. Well, it's what we call dangerous gentlemen. That is our goal. And your father and I, you know, we this is how we've raised our youngins. We've raised our young man cubs to become men, to be dangerous gentlemen. You embody that, Aaron. Speaking of, some exciting news of late. You were actually engaged to get married. Is that correct?
That is correct, since May.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Looking forward to the wedding. And the future looks great. We're going to be praying for you. But before we go, we have two questions that we ask everybody that we interview. The first one, you know, a lot of things are based on perception, but what is your perception of All Things Possible Ministry and what we do? It's, you got an in because of your dad, but it'd be good to hear it from you. Just what's your perception?
I think that it's, you guys are able to go into a niche that needs to be filled, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
There's, you guys do a lot of different things, and the branch that I'm, of course, the most passionate about, and just because of, and this is the bias coming through, is helping the children that have, you know, been suffering from whether it's sex trafficking or abuse, or now they're orphans because of, you know, something that happened in the Middle East or down at the border or something like that. And it's a really important job that a lot of people are scared to do, I think, for some odd reason, when it seems like anyone walking down the street and you ask them, oh, is this a problem? Should this be something that is stopped? And people say, yeah, of course. And then they don't want to do anything. You know, maybe they'll throw a couple of dollars at the problem, but then they'll try and like block it out and forget about it because it is so awful that it happens. And you guys are just brave enough to put yourself out there and say, this is a problem that we're going to lead the way in trying to combat this problem.
I love it. And you know what? That's a really solid insight. And I thank you for that. Last question. Everybody's going to die. Here I get morbid with eternity, but it's what I ask everybody. Everybody's going to die, including Aaron Teagues. You know, you'll probably die at 150 the way you're going. But what happens to Aaron when you close your eyes for the last time? What really happens, and why do you believe it?
So that is, and of course, a very existential question that, yeah, you know, people for thousands of years have been pondering, and even longer than that, most likely. But it's one of those things where I don't like to concern myself too much about with what happens, but I believe that there's a heaven and a hell, but there's a, you know, it's not necessarily fire and brimstone in hell and then cloudy happiness with, you know, chocolate waterfalls in heaven. I don't necessarily see it that way, but I know that there is some kind of, you know, end goal that is going to happen. And it's something that, you know, no matter what I do, I don't feel like I'm going to be able to figure out exactly what that is. But I know that what I'm doing here on Earth affects that. And, you know, trying to be the best person I can be and help the most people that I can with whatever that is, if it's through jiu-jitsu, if it's through working with you guys or whatever it is. I mean, just whatever someone's doing in their life, if they're trying to help people and, you know, better themselves. And I think all of that stuff is going to certainly play a role in whatever the afterlife, whatever that may be. And I think there's lots of different beautiful and eloquent ways to, you know, describe what the afterlife will be like. You know, some people might say that, you know, you die and maybe nothing happens, but you know, disintegrate into the ground and you become one with the earth and you become one with everything. That's, you know, a pretty way to think about it. Not necessarily what I might think, because I believe that people have bodies, have a soul, and we're in a physical vessel, but, and we will end up going somewhere. But yeah, it's a hard question to answer.
Well, thank you. No, that's why we ask it. We have people of different faiths, no faiths. We have people who are working through their journey, and we just want to hear people's responses. You know, it's like my Muslim friends, they ask me, well, Victor, okay, inshallah, I hope I go to heaven, you know. But when they say, well, what do you believe? I go, I only get my surety of what I call salvation or eternal life based on my faith in Christ and what he did on the cross. That's where I land with it for me. And I love that, and I share it with people, but everyone has to come to that understanding of, well, I am going to die, and I have to believe something. So I tell folks, find out what you believe in, and I'm interested in hearing it. And I thank you for sharing that. And it's not a small thing. It's the big question for me. It's like,
yeah,
that is one that everybody's going to go through. So thank you for sharing, and thank you for being on the show, Aaron. We'll be praying for your competitions. We just appreciate you, man, what you do as a person, as a human, for humanity, and your work with us. And again, the quiet work you do with us for ATP, that few will know of, but we appreciate you so much. God bless you, and thank you for being on the program today.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Well, you've been listening to my interview with Aaron Teagues. He is a outstanding Brazilian jiu-jitsu competitor, up and coming, and you can find out more information about him actually on our social media accounts, and you can look him up. Aaron, what is your Instagram account? What is that under?
My jiu-jitsu account is Aaron Teague's BJJ, as in Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Okay. You can find out more about Aaron Teague's by following him on his Instagram account. It's his jiu-jitsu account, Aaron Teague's, T-I-E-G-S, BJJ. And follow him, give him a like and follow, and keep him in prayer and all that he does, because eyes are upon him in a good way, and we're excited to be able to sponsor him as an official ATP athlete. Well, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, we appreciate you, and you know God loves you. Live life to the fullest. Don't half-step. Don't live in fear. And whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. That way there's fulfillment, purpose, and mission in life. Now, go get it done. We'll see you next time right here on the Victor Marks Show.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode. We'd love to stay connected with you and invite you to the conversation beyond this podcast. You can check out more of the work we're doing around the world at victormarks.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, all linked in the show notes. Be sure to drop us a comment in the review section if today's show has impacted you in any way, or if there's anything you'd like to hear more of. We're always encouraged to hear from you. Thanks for spending your time with us. Until next time.